Repeat after me, please. We return.
We return.
We return.
We return.
We return. Return again. You don't have to repeat that. You're going to sing it with me. We return. Return again. We return. Return again. We return. Together. We return, return again. Let's do it again.
We return,
we return. We return, return again. We're going to keep singing some other words. They're on the inside of your handout, inside the front page at the bottom. So we're going to sing that again, and then you'll follow me for the rest. We return.
We return.
We return.
We return.
We return again. We return.
We return.
Returning to our better selves, returning to the people we hope to be in the coming year, returning to the world we hope to build. So we will return again to you. We return.
Two.
Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And it's a joy to celebrate together on this Shabbat. Thank God the rains are holding off a little bit. Parashat Noach isn't for a couple of weeks. And I want to welcome the Cohn family to the front row, and especially Lily, who's going to become bat mitzvah tomorrow. And this week when she did her rehearsal is absolutely fantastic. And just watching her read from the Torah, there's a legend that there are the little crowns, the tagin on the Torah, and that when we study Torah, the tagins glow. And I felt that glow as Lily was leading us, as was reading from the Torah. And thank you to Cantor Box for being here. Yeah, I was reminded after Rosh Hashanah evening of one of my favorite sayings: reality is for people who can't deal with camp. And if you've never been to camp, then just think of the alarm buzzer going off and what are you going to do while leading the services. That's camp. And also thank you to everybody who asked about how I'm feeling. I'm doing much better, and I feel very, very badly, and but I'm doing okay. And we continue now with Lechuna Ranana on page 8. Danny Siegel. Glory be to you for chance encounters. All praise to you for occasion, momentary Torah, in incidental happenings, strollers' eyes, conductors' hands, the jumping feet of children. You set us unexpected meetings everywhere, in corridors and clinics, waiting rooms, the beach. You make signs and signals, radiating warmth in everything, if we but look for them. Boredom is a sin. For as long as there are trees and mountain, traces of design, links and wrinkled faces moving towards us, and a patterned unpredictability, we say, glory to you, eternal God, accept our psalms of praise. We continue with Ocha Dodi on page 14. Mm-hmm. Be seated. We continue on page 11 and 12 with the candle lighting. In Jerusalem, we'd come home, and Lily, if you'd like to bring your family up to light the candles, we'd come home from shul, and then candles would often be lit, and the Talmud, it says that if the house is prepared, there are the two angels, one on the right shoulder, one on the left, and one saying, do it like this, and one saying, the not-so-nice angel, do it like that. And if the candles are lit and everything's set for Shabbat, the good angel prevails for the week. We continue with the candle blessing.
As these Shabbat candles give light to all who behold them, so may we, by our lives, give light to all who behold us. As their brightness reminds us of the generations of Israel who have kindled light, so may we, in our own day, be among those who can delight. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahalik ner shel Shabbat. Blessed are you, Adonai our God, ruler of the universe, who makes us holy with your mitzvot and commands us to kindle the lights of Shabbat. Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahalik ner shel Shabbat. Amen.
We enter into the body of our service now with the Baruch Hu on page 17. For those who are able, please rise.
Can you hear my voice? Can you understand?
David. The bottom of page 18. And God said, let there be light. This first light God made before the sun and the stars. God showed the light to David, who burst into song. This was the light Moses saw on Sinai. At the creation, the universe from end to end radiated light, but it was withdrawn. And now it is stored away for the righteous, until all the world will be in harmony again, and all will be united and whole. But until this future world is established, this light, coming out of darkness and formed by the most secret, is hidden. As we have been taught, light is sown for the righteous. Unending is your love for your people, the house of Israel. Torah and mitzvot, laws and precepts have you taught us. Therefore, O eternal, our God, when we lie down and when we rise up, meditate on your laws and rejoice in your Torah and mitzvot forever. Day and night we will reflect on them, for they are our life and the length of our days. Then your love shall never depart from our hearts. Blessed is the Eternal who loves your people Israel. If you are able, please rise for the Shema, page 22.
Shema Israel, Adonai.
Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elohecha, bechol levavcha uvechol nafshecha uvechol ma'odecha. V'hayu hadvarim ha'ele, asher anochi mitzavcha hayom al levavecha. V'shinan tam levanecha v'dibarta bam. B'shivtecha b'veitecha uvlechtecha v'aderech uvshochpecha uvkumecha. Ukshar tam laot al yadecha, vehayu letotafot bene necha. Uchtav tam al mezuzot betecha, uvisharecha. Lema'an tizkiru vaasitem, et kol mitzvotai, vitem kedoshim lelohechem, ani Adonai Elohechem, asher hotzeiti etchem me eretz mitzrayim. Lihiyot lachem lelohim, ani Adonai Elohechem. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Set these words upon, command you this day upon your heart. Teach them faithfully to your children. Speak of them in your home and on your way, when you lie down and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign upon your hand. Let them be a symbol before your eyes. Inscribe them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Be mindful of all my mitzvot and do them. So shall you consecrate yourselves to your God. I, the Lord, am your God, who led you out of Egypt to be your God. I, the Lord, am your God. Page 24. Every Shabbat, we stand at the shores of the sea with Moses and Miriam, tasting the salt and the freedom. In every generation, Jews have stood at the Sea of Freedom, singing songs of thanksgiving to God. Sometimes we sang with just voice. Other times we used timbrel, piano, shofar, or guitar. Who is like you, Adonai, is lifted from our sacred scroll and given voice and song.
And because we are still in this period between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, even as the rest of our Shabbat liturgy feels like all of the other Shabbatot, the most important time when we gather on Shabbat, we still have this taste of the holy days because we are still doing our work building towards Yom Kippur. Mi chamocha ba'elim Adonai, mi chamocha nedar ba'kodesh, nora tehilot osefel. Malchutecha ra'uvanecha, bokei hayam lifnei Moshe u'Miriam, zehei li'anu. On page 25, I was sitting outside earlier this afternoon and I felt a cool breeze. And even with all the rain, I had this moment where I thought, oh, perhaps we are growing close to fall. And as I get closer to Yom Kippur, I start thinking about my sukkah, when I'm gonna build it, how wonderful it is to be outdoors, whether it's raining or sunny or cold. We're never quite sure what the weather will be. But it reminds me that there's so much that we can't predict. Who knew what this week would bring? For so many, North Carolina, all up along the coast. Frightening for so many people, and yet we never know. We are not in control. And so as the weather turns, and for many it's turning, and people are leaving their homes, we ask for a sukkah of peace to be sent to them, to people who are perhaps this evening and tomorrow and for days to come without shelter. And as we turn into Yom Kippur and then beyond to build our Sukkot, which will be flimsy, and perhaps blow in these breezes as they come, to remember that we are grateful for all that we have, and we lift up those who perhaps are losing so much. Hashkivenu, a Sukkah of Shalom for us, and for all of those, particularly in the path of storm. Hashkivenu Adonai,
together on page 27, feeling the spirit of Shabbat. The people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath in every generation, as a covenant for all time, as a sign forever between me and the people of Israel. For in 6 days the eternal God made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day God rested and was refreshed. Page 29, for those who are able, please rise for the tefillah.
Adonai Sefatai Tivta Uvi Agitei Latecha. Eternal God, open up my lips, that my mouth may declare your glory.
Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu velohei avotenu v'imotenu, Elohei Abraham, Elohei Yitzhak, Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Sarah, Elohei Rivka, Elohei Rachel, Elohei Leah. Ha'el Hagadol Hagibor V'hanora, El Elyon, Gomel Hasadim Tovim, V'kone Hakol, V'zocher Haste Avot V'imahot, U'meivig Ula Livne V'nehem, Lama'an Shemo Ba'ahava, Melech Ozer Moshiach Umagen, Baruch Ata Adonai, Magen Abraham Vezrat Sarah. Ata Gibor Le'olam Adonai, Mechaye Hako Ata Rav Lehoshia, Mekalchel Hayim Bechesed, Mechaye Hako Barachamim Rabim, Somech Noflim Berofer Cholim, Umatir Asurim, Umakaye Emunato Ushene Afar, Mi Hamocha Baal Givurot, Umi Domelach, Melech Meimit Umakaye, Matsmiach Yeshua, Veneeman Ata Echayot Hakom, Baruch Ata Adonai, Mechaye Hakom. Page 32. Our lives are blessed because of the holiness of God, from beauty of the earth and sky to the beauty we have within us, God is everywhere. God has given us the ability to realize how precious life is, and for that we are grateful. Baruch Ata Adonai Ha'el HaKadosh. Please be seated. We continue reading together on page 34 at the bottom. As Shabbat descends, it enfolds us in its mantle of peace. It brings us the precious gift of time, time to embrace family and friends, to reflect more deeply on the meaning and purpose of our lives, to worship the beauty of holiness. May every Shabbat be a sanctuary of love and devotion, bringing contentment to our hearts, happiness to our homes, and blessing to our people and all humanity. The first time I was here, I was at services as Rabbi Rappaport led them with the religious school. It was the assembly, and she asked them about hoda'ah, about what are you thankful for? And what an amazing thing to come to temple and to say, what are you thankful for? What do you feel good about? And so that is our kavanah as this evening we read together on page 37, the thankfulness that we have for our blessings in the world. We thank you, God, for the world you have given us with all its beauty and all its imperfections, with all its miracles and with all its tragedies. You have given us this gift, this spark of your creative powers, to make our world a better place, to improve ourselves along with your world. You have given us our life's work. You have created us in your image to do your work here in this world. For all these things, we give our thanks. We continue with Shalom Rav on page 39.
Shalom Rav al Israel Amka, Tasim Le'ulam. Shalom Rav al Israel.
We offer our prayer for those who are ill. Mi sheberach imotenu v'avotenu, our God and God of our mothers and fathers, God of Sarah and Abraham, Rebecca and Isaac, Leah, Rachel, and Jacob, as you've been with our ancestors, with all who are in need of your healing, send them healing of body, of mind, and of spirit. May the light of your presence be with them for comfort and for strength. Eternal God, sustain their dear ones with your goodness and love. Guide their caregivers to have skilled hands and understanding hearts. We hold in our hearts all of our dear ones in need of healing. Baruch Ata Adonai Rofe HaCholim, blessed are you, O God, who sends strength and healing to the ill. Amen. Page 45. For our own thoughts and our own prayers.
In your service folder, you should have a yellow piece of paper. If you could take that out for a few moments, us to do a little study together. So you'll see at the top, Kol Nidre. There's no vowels. I'm not going to ask you to read it. I'm not going to sing it. You have to come back on Tuesday night to hear that. But we're just going to spend a few minutes talking about Kol Nidre in preparation for Kol Nidre. We call the evening Kol Nidre, but we don't sing it that many times that it takes all the 90 minutes. That's the name of the service, which is interesting in and of itself that the service is named for this prayer. So we're going to look at it together. I'll read the translation at the top, and you can see, again, the Hebrew doesn't have vowels, but Kol Nidre, Ve'esare, Ve'koname, Ve'chinuye, that's the sound, if you don't remember from last year, those are the words that should sound familiar. All vows, prohibitions, oaths, consecrations, konam vows, konas, other kinds of vows, or equivalent terms that we may vow, swear, consecrate, or prohibit upon ourselves, from the last Yom Kippur until this Yom Kippur, and from this Yom Kippur until next Yom Kippur, may it come upon us for good regarding them all. We regret them henceforth. They all will be permitted, abandoned, canceled, null and void, without power and without standing. Our vows shall not be valid vows. Our prohibitions shall not be valid prohibitions, and our oaths shall not be valid oaths. So, what does that inspire in you? Anything at all? Not some shaking heads. What's challenging about this text? What jumps out at you? You could be honest.
Basically says that you can go back on anything you said.
Which part does it say that?
Pretty much all of it.
Okay, right. And any vowels are null and void. It just pretty much says that. Oh, yeah, lots of negativity. Exactly right. You can't do this, you can't do that, or anything you do bad, it's canceled. Right, it's not permitted. A lot of negativity. Anything else? One of the things about this text particularly is that we know it's been around since about the 9th century. And from the 9th century to about the 12th century, it just sort of existed as is. The real challenge with this text, and we're going to dig into it a little bit, is the part that's after the parentheses. So the text says, from last Yom Kippur until this Yom Kippur, our vows are null, which actually makes sense, right? Because we're supposed to have made amends and hopefully said we're sorry to all of our people, and we're trying to sort of reconnect with the divine, and we've apologized for ourselves and given us forgiveness for everything we've done last year. But this says, and any vow we make between now and next year, they're null and void. And so that's highly problematic. One of the reasons it was most problematic, what would you guess? Why is this a problematic thing for us to say on the holiest day of the year as a people?
Well, why would we be here? Why are we sitting here doing this?
Ah, good question. Ah, so why are we here, right? If it's all null and void and we have nothing really to say we're sorry for, we all can go home. Oh, phew. Nice. We got an extra day back in our lives. Right, so why are we here? What else? What historically could be challenging about this kind of text? Used by anti-Semites. So it was actually one of the more significant challenges of this text. It fueled sort of 18th and 19th century anti-Semitism. And actually, Jews were hauled into court to stand in secular court to promise that they would fulfill any oaths that they took. Because they said, you're saying on your holiest day, any vow that we make in the future is null and void. Of course, that's not actually what the text is about. There's some commentary here on this page, which we're not going to go through all of that you can take home. The intent, one, was some legalese. It's a legal piece, which we're going to dig into in a little bit. It's not a prayer. It's a legal, it's a piece of legalese. It was never designed to be in a prayer book, or it's not really a prayer as it happens. It's some legal terms. What it meant was, particularly for individuals, we're in a communal setting, but individuals had to have a chance to say they were sorry for individual vows. So it basically says, as a group, we don't have time to hear everybody's mishugas of all the things you did. So as a group, we're going to say all of the things. But really, the vows that we're talking about is, I swear I'm never going to yell at my kids again. but I'm probably going to do that in about an hour and a half when I get home to Rockville. And so what this basically says is, it is impossible for you to come each Yom Kippur with a list of every vow you broke. I mean, it's just unrealistic. So the text was there to say, you're going to say things in the future that you don't really mean. It was never meant to say that when you take an oath in court or to the non-Jew, that it means Jews are liars and they can never be trusted. Again, it was just this legal way to help us recognize that the volume of vows that we take, I swear I won't, and then we do, they're not, don't, we can't count them as so sinful that then we are all sort of incapacitated. That's the problem with this text. One of the interesting things about the text is that it's so unattractive in terms of content, and it's legal, and yet it's one of the most significant parts of our liturgy. Why? Because it was put to music. So the prayer off and on was considered to be removed from the Sidur, but the Machzor, but the reason why it stayed was because it was put to music. We have information of the oldest melodies, which are called Mi-Sinai melodies from Sinai. They are not from Moshe Rabbeinu at Sinai. They're all from about the 18th century, but they're actually the oldest melodies we have that are most consistent in our repertoire. Aleinu, which I sang, the great Aleinu on Rosh Hashanah, Kol Nidre are two of them. There's lots of evidence that this has been sung for a long time. In the 11th century, there's a Machzor from France that says that the Kol Nidre was sung three times. The Maharil of Mayence in France in the 1300s says the melody of Kol Nidre should be prolonged so that latecomers could hear it. In Eastern Europe, please don't be late. I'm only singing it twice. In Eastern Europe, there are some evidence in the 1500s. There's a discussion that it should be a fixed tune of very high quality. We clearly know that there was a melody that was commonplace by the 16th century, and it became so connected to the text that no change in it was possible. That the melody we have that probably, even as early as the 14th century, but definitely the 16th century, is the melody we chant now. It is considered one of the oldest melodies in the Ashkenazi tradition. We have it written from 1765, Aaron Beer, with very few changes as we know it now. Lewandowski sort of slightly made a few changes, and that's basically the melody we have now. Jews come from all over to hear it. It's such a popular melody. In some communities, people come, hear Kol Nidre, and leave. Cantors used to tour, it was so popular, synagogues and concert halls. In the golden age of Chazanut, of the cantorate, when cantors left Europe between 1880s and 1920s, the golden age of cantors would tour synagogues, concert halls to sold out crowds and sing Kol Nidre. Perhaps you know even beyond the Jewish community. It appears in Beethoven's, anyone know, with which symphony, which movement? String quartet in C sharp minor in the sixth movement. There's a very lengthy strain of Kol Nidre. And as we know and we'll hear on Tuesday night, the Bruch cello part, which we'll hear on viola, was written in the late 1800s. Bruch, actually, who wrote that melody that we hear before the service, he's not Jewish, but he heard it from Cantor Lichtenstein, the cantor of the large synagogue in Berlin in 1880, and he loved it so much that he arranged it for cello. And in American pop culture, what movie? The Jazz Singer, right? So Jackie Rabinowitz, the cantor's son, he leaves synagogue music to go become a pop singer, but he doesn't do his gig in order to go back into the synagogue to sing Kol Nidre. And that actually probably prompted the recordings of Perry Como and Johnny Mathis, who both have recordings of Kol Nidre. How many of you knew that? You're all going to go home and YouTube it, I know, in the car as you drive out. Like, we got to hear. They both recorded popular recordings of Kol Nidre. No other melody speaks to the Jewish soul this way. The reverence of the melody is what got the moment in the liturgy. It is unique in Jewish worship. Other things that were texts, and then they were set to melody. But we're pretty sure that because the melody was so compelling, it's included in the service. But interestingly, as a renouncement of vows, it is devoid of religious emotion. I mean, you can look at it again. You can't say prohibited, abandoned, canceled, null and void. There's no emotion. But its musical setting is generally accepted as an expression of the deepest religious feeling which moves the Jewish heart on the eve of Yom Kippur, of the Day of Atonement. But the text is still a problem. Some people solve the problem by only having instrumental versions and not allowing it to be sung or said. But I will sing it twice, not to worry. So the question is, why does it hang on? Is it really just the melody? Some say yes. Some say no. Many rabbis through the centuries have tried to cut it from the Machzor, Who do you think protested? When the rabbi said, we're going to cut Kol Nidre, who do you think put up a hue and cry? Wrong. The cantors actually were ambivalent about it. It was the people. It was Amcha, the people in the pews, the congregations, revolted that they wouldn't get to hear. It wasn't about the singing of the Kol Nidre by the cantors, that they wouldn't get to hear Kol Nidre, and that is why it is still with us today. Can you imagine coming on Tuesday night and not hearing Kol Nidre? I can imagine not singing it. You probably can't imagine not hearing it. In prayer, words and intentions do not always match. And so this is what the beauty of Kol Nidre is. Besides the fact that it has become musically now so powerful, we still have this text that doesn't really do much for us in terms of what we think should be happening to us on Yom Kippur. But perhaps in Kol Nidre's case, it's not the words in translation, but the formula of the words that draws us in. Maybe it's because we can't translate it easily. What language is it in? Aramaic. So even if we all knew a lot more Hebrew, very few of us, and even anybody who ever is in shul, knows Aramaic. We actually can't even translate it. It is the magical incantation that the words take on that has deep power. And actually, the tradition of reciting Kol Nidre three times is based on an incantation practice. This idea of magical spells, not as a fantasy, but by reciting them. Rabbi Eli Confer of the egalitarian Yeshiva Hadar in New York City suggests that in this incantation, we are forced to confront our inability to understand everything we say. And that really is what Yom Kippur is ultimately about. While the world is focused on information and articulation, our relationships, meaningful soul-searching, cracking open the prisons of ourselves, that has to defy language. When we experience the power of words that really don't mean something, we're pushed up against the futility of language to capture our truest and deepest emotions. And perhaps the reason we still love these prayers and that we love Kol Nidre is not only because we love the music, and the music does overshadow the textual challenges, but maybe it's actually because of the challenge and the tension is why the piece has such allure and power. Our teacher, Rabbi Larry Hoffman, suggests that the hearing and the reciting of Kol Nidre actually connects us with the sacred because it reminds us that even the scientific and the secular, all the legalese and intellect with which we all face the world, particularly here in the Washington area, is not enough. He suggests that, quote, a universe that operates by natural law can actually still have mystery. We are pilgrims on the yellow brick road, and we strive to be secular, scientific, and savvy without giving up on God and the certainty that life still matters. On Kol Nidre, our memories kick in, our yearning to find meaning in a world that, try as we might, we cannot explain. Our hope is to feel connected to something much larger than ourselves, and it is on full display. Our intellect alone cannot inspire us to do what we need to do to become our best selves. Our intellect alone cannot do that. Hoffman concludes by reminding us that while people think they cannot pray because they don't believe, the opposite is true. Prayer compels belief. So how do we hold equal space and balance for these ongoing conflicts in our prayer? The literal meaning of our words, what our words say to us, to each other, to outsiders who might read these, with the larger question of the purpose of prayer, of gathering, of memory, of music. It is a constant balance to process what's in our head and listen intently to what's in our heart. During these 10 days, it is designed to do just that, to quiet all of those voices in our head and to allow more volume for what is in our heart. Shabbat Shalom.
Cantor Box, thank you so very, very much. It is such a blessing to be with you here. Thank you so very much. I'd like to invite Gabrielle and Jeremy to come to open the ark for the Elenu. For those who are able, please rise. Page 53. Please be seated. Page 59. When I die, give what's left of me away to children and old men that wait to die. If you need to cry, cry for your brother walking the street beside you. And when you need me, put your arms around anyone and give them what you need to give me. I want to give you something, something that is better than words or sounds. Look for me in the people I've known or loved. And if you cannot give me away, at least let me live in your eyes and not in your mind. You can love me best by letting hands touch hands and by letting go of children who need to be free. Love doesn't die, people do. So when all that's left of me is love, give me away. During the year of mourning, we fondly remember our members, Sheldon Miller and Toby Konigsberg. We mourn the loss in the last 30 days of our members and all of the victims of violence here and around the world. We remember Betty Davison, the mother of David Kleinman, the grandmother of Jason Kleinman, of Rabbi Kevin Kleinman, mother of Sandy Kleinman, beloved member of Temple B'nai Shalom, Dossie Weissbein, the mother of Daniel Weissbein, B. Frank Scher, the father of Steve Scher, Joseph Schindelman, the cousin of Bernard and Marianne Bernstein, the cousin of Sue Cohn and Patty Reed. Sidney Copeland, the great uncle of Jay Copeland. Diane Goldstein, the aunt of Cheryl Littman. David Faulkner, the son of Richard Warschau and Susan Faulkner Warschau. Judy Van Houten, the stepmother of Kimberly Charrington. We remember our beloved members, Beverly Konigsberg, the wife of Dr. Ed Konigsberg. Recall the yearly anniversary of the deaths. And this week, we have put up our 9/11 memorial flag as we think of all of those who lost their lives, the 9/11 tragedies. We mark the anniversaries in our congregation of David Konigsberg, the father of David Konigsberg, Edith Raffel, Dorothy Green, Emmanuel Kimpel, Robert Hasselkoss, Terry Willett, Nathan Kaminsky, Irving Marcus, Helen Miller, Hyman Berman, Robin Schween, Lucy Solomon, Harriet Hirsch, Goldie Wasserman, Henry Breitstein, Captain Charles Burlingame, Robert Dwar, Pauline Epstein, Arthur Fishman, Lieben Perez, Margaret Barron, Seymour Rudick, Charles Bigelman, Harry Sonnenblum, Dr. Alfred Gottschalk, Gloria Dolberg, Mike Gregovic, Edith Hughes, David McClellan, B. Yar, Janice Jaffe, Geraldine Schwartz, Lena Reed, Edith H. Schwartz, Faye Wagner, Edward Hartendorp, Florence Rosenberg. In remembrance and an affirmation, we continue with the Kaddish on page 60. For those who are able, please rise. Recall all of those who have lost their lives to disaster, to violence, with no one to remember them, and in the defense of freedom. Yitgadal v'yitgadash shemei rabah, v'alma divra chirutei v'yamlich ma'achutei, v'chaye echon v'yame echon, v'chaye d'chol beit Yisrael, v'agala v'yisman kari v'yamru amen. Yehei shmei rabah mevarach le'olam omei omaya, v'yitbarak v'yishtabak v'yitpa'ar v'yitromam v'yitnasei, V'yatadar v'yatale v'talal shmei t'grusha v'rechu. Le'ela min kol birchata v'shirata, tushbachata v'nechamata. Damiram v'alma v'yamru amen. Yehei shlama rabba min shemaya, v'chayim aleinu v'al kol Yisrael v'yamru amen. Ose shalom b'mromav, hu ya'ase shalom. Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael, v'emru, amen.
V'emru, amen.
Please be seated.
In a moment, I will be calling to the Bima, an incredible young woman who often prefers to stay under the radar, but who should never be underestimated. Lily Cohn is someone who I can envision quietly working hard behind the scenes, and then suddenly one day, she's president of the United States. There are amazing things ahead for this girl, mark my words. Lily has personally chosen to take on the mantle of her Jewish heritage, and we are so pleased, not only that she is a strong link in the chain of Jewish tradition, but also a strong link in our own TBS Jewish community. It is my great honor to call up to lead us in Kiddush, an exemplary learner, good deed doer, and Jewish role model. Lily Cohn and her wonderful family, Michael and Michelle and Gabriella and Jeremy. And Kiddush can be found on page 61. Please rise.
For life and health, for work and rest, for home and love and friendship. On Shabbat, eternal sign of creation, we remember that we are created in the divine image. We therefore raise the cup in thanksgiving. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, borei pri hagafen.
Amen.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, asher kichana b'mitzvotav ratzav anu, v'shabbat kasho be'ahava uvratzon, hinchilanu, zikron l'ma'aseh v'reishit, ki hu yom techila, l'mikra e'kodesh, Zecher litziat Mitzrayim.
Kivanu bacharta, yotanu kidashta, mikol ha'amim, v'shabbat kashecha, be'ahava u'ratzon, hinchaltanu. Join in song together as our joyful prayer is said. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
You may be seated.
Grape juice. No. Shabbat shalom. Shana tova. Oh, come on. You can do better. It's kind of weak. Okay. All right. Well, I will say, I'll depart from the script, this is the hardcore crowd, right? When you're here between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, hardcore crowd, and we welcome you. Welcome to our first Shabbat of 5779. I was going to say, if this is your first time here for a long time or you're a regular, welcome. But I can see who the new folks are. So, Sherry and Philippa, you have somebody sitting next to you who's a guest for the evening?
We have a student from George Mason.
Welcome. And Ken Klimple, you have a guest this evening. Go ahead, introduce.
Val August.
Welcome, Val. Okay. And I'm going to skip the part about temple shopping. Julie is here for membership, but nobody's looking for membership tonight. But everybody's going to bring some new members during the year, right? Okay. So thank you, ushers, Marilyn Weissman and Sandy Adams, and greeters, Philippa and Sherry Lohr, Philippa Hinman and Sherry Lohr. And thank you, Rabbi Rappaport and Rabbi Crystal, for leading us in worship tonight. And welcome back, and thank you, Rabbi Cantor Box, for sharing your gifts of music and ruining the cold nidre for me. As always, please consult your weekly Kol email, website, and so forth. If you are a Jew with tools, Brotherhood welcomes you on September 23rd to help erect the Sukkah. And if... I'm sorry, this Sunday. That makes it the 16th. Sunday the 16th, and it's about 9 o'clock, and about 11:30, Sisterhood will be decorating, so please come out and help with that. I think everyone by now knows Kol Nidre is Tuesday night, so I can skip all that. If you haven't made plans to be with us for the day on Yom Kippur, I urge you. We've got some really interesting programs, including featuring... Frank Cohn, who's playing the role of God. I'm not going to touch it. Like I said, I'm not going to touch it. And just a reminder, if you end up using the Christ Church parking lot, please drive carefully and slowly, follow the directions. for, let's see, for any 9th to 12th graders who have not yet gone to a meet and greet, there will be one here on the 26th of September at 7 p.m. And on the 27th, if you are a stay-at-home person or working from home and you want to come to a meet and greet, we'll have one in the Sukkah, weather permitting, at 10 a.m. on the 27th. Religious school is back in session on the 23rd.
Yay!
And please join us for Simchat Torah service and celebration on September 30th from 6 to 8 p.m. And finally, finally, I'm going to get you back up here doing this. Welcome to the front row, Lily Cohn and family. It's great to see you here. Your TBS family join you in the excitement and the pride that you're going to do a great job. You've studied, you're prepared, and we wish you all mazel tov and a great bat mitzvah weekend. Shabbat shalom, wishing you a peaceful Shabbat and a good next week, especially Tuesday.
We continue with our closing song. We return Hashivenu.
Just like we opened.
We return.
Please rise for the closing benediction. Eternal God, may we feel love on this Shabbat Shuva, this Shabbat of return. May we feel the love as return to the best in ourselves. May we feel the love as we reconnect with our family and our dear ones. May we feel the love that is needed in our world. May we reach out to others in love. And may we sense the love of divinity throughout the world. May that love fill our hearts. May it enliven us. May it inspire us. May it bring radiance to us, our dear ones, in the world, in this new year. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.